Let's read together Revelation chapter 16. In this chapter, we have the final judgments of the tribulation period, the seven bowls of the wrath of God. Let's read about the first three bowls of judgment in verses 1 through 7. Revelation chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth." So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who had worshipped his image. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due." And I heard another from the altar saying, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." Let's begin our study of Revelation chapter 16 with some background notes. At the end of Revelation chapter 15, we saw seven angels coming out of the temple of God in heaven. The seven angels had seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God. Now here in chapter 16, these seven bowls of judgment are poured out on this earth. This is the third set of seven judgments that take place on this earth during the tribulation period of the future. First, there were the seven seal judgments. And then with the opening of the seventh seal judgment came the seven trumpet judgments. And then after the sounding of the seventh trumpet in Revelation chapter 11, the seven bowl judgments come here in chapter 16. Now, because the seventh trumpet judgment and the seventh bowl judgment both bring us to the end of the tribulation period, as we've seen, it is thought by some expositors that the trumpet judgments and the bowl judgments run simultaneously, especially since there is a lot of similarity between the trumpet judgments and the bowl judgments, as we'll see. However, other expositors interpret the bowl judgments as taking place after the trumpet judgments because there are some significant differences and they are definitely more intense. In this view, the bowl judgments occur in rapid fire sequence after the seventh trumpet judgment, so that all the bowl judgments, along with the seventh trumpet judgment, come near the end of the tribulation period. That brings us now to our doctrinal or teaching points for Revelation chapter 16. Doctrine point number one: the bowls of God's wrath cause the righteous to praise God. The bowls of God's wrath cause the righteous to praise God. In verse 2, we have the first bowl of God's wrath poured out on this earth. Under this judgment, people who had received the mark of the Roman beast and worshipped the image of the beast, whose number is 666, these people were incapacitated with loathsome and malignant ulcerous sores. There is no room for pride when your body is in that condition. In verse 3, the second angel poured out his bowl of judgment into the sea, and it became blood, and every living creature in the sea died. Now remember, under the second trumpet judgment, a third of the sea became blood, and a third of life in the sea died. Now here under the second bowl judgment, the entire sea, which comprises most of the earth's surface, is turned into blood. Will it be real blood, or just look like blood? There is no reason not to interpret this scripture literally, just as in the first plague of blood at the time of the Exodus. In verse 4, the third golden bowl of God's judgment is poured out. The rivers and springs of water on earth become blood. Under the third trumpet judgment, a third of the rivers and springs became bitter and poison. Here under the third bowl judgment, all the rivers and springs become blood. Can you imagine the death that results from these judgments? Is it fair, you ask? Not only is it fair for God to judge the guilty world in this way. But we see in verses 5 through 7 that the righteous praise God for his wrath upon this world. In verses 5 and 6, we hear one of the holy angels who is given charge over the waters of the earth saying, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. For it is their just due." So you see, God is being praised for his wrath here by the holy angels. And in verse 7, we hear the righteous martyrs that are seen under the altar in Revelation 9:6. Here they cry out from the altar and say, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." So the holy angels and the righteous martyrs praise God for his wrath and righteous judgment upon those who rejected the message of the saints and the prophets. The same will be true of believers in heaven. We will praise God forever for the fact that his righteousness is vindicated by the punishment and judgment of those who rejected his love and salvation. The bowls of God's wrath cause the righteous to praise God. Doctrinal point number 2. The bowls of God's wrath cause the unrighteous to blaspheme God. The bowls of God's wrath cause the unrighteous to blaspheme God. Verses 8 through 21. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues. And they did not repent and give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons, performing signs, which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as has not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. In verses 8 and 9, we have the fourth bowl of God's wrath. And we read that it affects the sun. Under the fourth trumpet judgment, a third of the sun was darkened. Here, under the fourth bowl judgment, there is intense heat from the sun, so that the people are scorched and burned. Does this cause people on this earth to repent of their sins? No. They blaspheme God instead. In verses 10 and 11, the fifth angel pours out his bowl of judgment. Darkness comes upon the kingdom of the beast, that is, upon the revived Roman Empire. The unbelievers are inflicted with further pain, but still they do not repent. Instead, they curse God even further. You know, it's often been asked why the punishment of hell is eternal. Answer: because the unrepentant are eternally unrepentant. In verses 12 through 16, the sixth bowl of the wrath of God is poured out on this earth. And the Euphrates River is dried up so that the way is prepared for the huge armies of the Far East that we saw under the sixth trumpet judgment. They will be gathered together with the rest of the world's leaders and their armies in Israel. They all think that they are coming to do battle against Israel, as Zechariah prophesied in Zechariah 12 and verse 3. We see in verses 13 and 14 of Revelation chapter 16 that Satan gives power to the Roman beast and the false prophet to do signs in order to deceive this world's leaders to join in the attack against Israel. Little do they know that they are being gathered together by God himself in Israel, where they will meet their end in the large plain of Jezreel before the hill of Megiddo in the final war of the tribulation period, usually referred to as the Battle of Armageddon. In verses 17 through 21, we have the seventh and final bowl of judgment poured out on this earth. Notice the loud voice from the throne saying, "It is done." Under the seventh bowl judgment, there are geologic events of catastrophic proportions. The greatest earthquake of all time takes place. As a result of the earthquake, all the great cities of the world are brought down, including the great city of Babylon, which is split into three parts. Now we'll read more about this judgment and destruction of Babylon in chapters 17 and 18 of Revelation. We see in verses 20 and 21 that the cataclysm is so great that whole islands disappear and mountains are flattened and hailstones weighing 100 pounds each rain down from heaven. Now you would think that this would be enough to cause people to repent. But no, they curse God even more. The bowls of God's wrath cause the unrighteous to blaspheme God. Now, what about practical application from Revelation chapter 16? Don't miss out on the blessing of staying awake. Don't miss out on the blessing of staying awake. Now, we're not talking here about staying awake in church or while you're praying, but being ready for the Lord's return. In verse 15, the Lord himself says, "Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." This verse, in context, specifically refers to the people living during the time of the tribulation period, but it certainly has application for today. To the unbeliever, the return of the Lord will be like a thief coming in the night. Unbelievers will be caught off guard. To the believer, the rapture of the church should not be a surprise. The question is, are we ready? Are we awake? Are we walking in righteousness? Or will we have to be ashamed when the Lord returns because we're asleep or involved in sin? There is a blessing pronounced for those who are ready. As the Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 37, "Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them." Luke chapter 12, verse 37. Don't miss out on the blessing of staying awake.